You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
All right, let's bring in the great Dave Rothenberg, one of my favorite people in the world. Really,
not
he
true.
Is.
That's just not true.
Dave, how are you, my friend? The star of DCR from 5 to 8 in the morning, doing great.
Wow.
Everybody loves the show. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. I was doing better before I heard about this list that Don put together and who you're going to take off and what Peter's incredibly disrespectful and distasteful comments. But let me backtrack. I'm doing well. I hope you guys are as well.
Now, he doubled down and said that Phil was essentially Trent Dilfer in the Super Bowl.
Of the 80s.
Not in the Super Bowl.
I'm not kidding. You know that drop where Don says I'd smack your face dead? If I was
right
next to you and you said that, I would punch you right in the nose. I would attack you, physically attack you. It because you're better than that. And it feels like you're being hot take Rosenberg. It's a horrendous take. Phil Simms is like, if Phil Simms had another year or two of not getting injured, he was borderline Hall of Famer. And for
here
you to have
again
the gall, the unmitigated gall and stupidity to
wow
say that he is somehow – really, it's embarrassing for you. If I were you, I would just back up and go home. You shouldn't continue to do the show. It's a terrible take, Peter. It's a horrendous take.
Do you know what – in the great 1986 season, Giants went 14-2. Do you know what Phil Simms' touchdown to interception was?
Go ahead.
22 interceptions to 21 touchdowns.
Now,
okay, you're right. I exaggerated.
But he's
better than Dilfer. Much better.
No, he's better than Dilfer, and that was what got me so angry. But here's my take, all right? It was greatest New York moments and games. And to say that Phil Simms, 22-25 in the Super Bowl with 3 touchdowns and the highest completion percentage ever, is not one of New York's all-time greatest games is ridiculous. And I heard you guys making fun of me and saying, oh, Rothenberg says that Kerry Collins should be on the list. Chris Canty said that Eli Manning should be on the list. And I said, no, I don't think he should. I said, I don't think he carried those teams to wins. He had great moments in those games, but I don't think through and through those were great games. And I said, I don't think Eli should be there. But to say that Phil Simms and that performance shouldn't be there, it upset me greatly.
You're embarrassed that you're actually working at the same station as this guy, right, Dave?
When he said Trent Dilfer, I actually became angry. And I was driving in the car, and Ben's like, what's the matter? And I was like, I can't believe he would say something like this. He goes, who does he root for? And I said, Washington. He goes, well, that's why he said it, Dad. He's trying to bait you. And he's trying to bait the entire city is what he's trying to do.
Well, it hasn't gotten the defense that you would think you'd get. I think, listen, it was no doubt a great performance. And this all started because I simply said the first 3 were absolutely untouchable in my eyes. I just didn't think they were touchable. When we got to the Phil Simms one, I thought, okay, this is one we could talk about. Some Giants fans obviously feel very differently. But as far as my assertion that Phil Simms was a good quarterback who had a great Super Bowl performance, I think most people feel the same way. A good quarterback with a great Super Bowl performance. That's it.
I think he was better than good.
He was very good.
I was going to say, I think he's a very, very good quarterback who was injury prone early in his career, had a terrific career in an era, and you remember this, and Don, you clearly remember this, Giant Stadium was a wind factory. It was like a wind tunnel. You could barely throw the football. If you put Phil Simms in an indoor location, I think the numbers would be far superior than that. Guys didn't used to throw like they throw now. It's a completely different game.
I think we've covered enough ground on this subject. I think what really has gotten lost on this whole thing is the absolute about-face that Michael has taken on the Dave Rothenberg front, just the expense of you, Peter. All of a sudden, one bad take from you and one disagreement in order to really rub it in your face, he's bringing in a guy, Dave, who had zero respect for and spent the better part of 2 months ripping him almost on a daily basis and now showing nothing but love just to stick it in your face.
Dave, listen, let's be realistic. I know I made you sick when I said Trent Dilfer, and I know you were angry. But let's be honest. You and I are still on the same page. Michael's not to be trusted. This is just to use you as an opportunity to go after me. You and I both know he's a bad guy, and he's a weird guy when it comes to his relationship with Rick. Am I right?
I will say this. I'm fine being used as a pawn in the game to just really remedy the misstep that you've taken. That's for starters.
Okay.
Secondly, I'm not going to say Michael's a bad guy. I don't think Michael's a bad guy at all. I think Michael is a troubled guy who has real issues when it comes to this bizarre friendship with Rick DiPietro.
See, that's where you lose me. What's bizarre about
it? Shots at anybody.
But what's bizarre?
Friends make fun of other friends.
There's nothing to make fun of. Oh, the guy's almost a perfect person.
That right there is weird. Nobody's perfect.
He's close.
It's such...
Based on one. Dave, he didn't know that this guy existed until like 5 minutes ago.
But it shows you that I'm not seduced by his fame. It's just the person that he is.
He's a great person.
He's a great guy, and I love him too. But you have to call him out when he does, you know, has missteps. Like with you with that shirt the other day. Like with you with the shirt. He didn't like the shirt, but wouldn't say he didn't like the shirt because it's you. If that was me, if that was Don, that's weird, Michael. That's strange.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I think you're all jealous, and the relationship and the feelings between the two of us are so complex that you guys, all three of you, are not that complex mentally, so you can't get it.
What's so complex, though, about being friends with someone?
Because you don't understand what brings us together, and we can't explain it.
Well, okay, and boom, we have the weird. We figured it out. There's the weird, Dave.
But this is what. Oh my God! And I don't really even care about this. I just want him to accept the fact that it's weird. I am way closer to Dan Grosso than you are to Rick. Way closer. I'm closer to Dave than you are to Rick. I think I'm closer to you than you are to Rick. I don't even know. There is no relationship. Let's be honest. You've never broken bread together. You've never confided in one another.
How do you
hardly
know
ever
I confide
see each other? There is. This is the lie. You're exaggerating. Dave, follow me here. There is no relationship. There's not. They service
not
each other
be,
on the air,
might,
and that's it. That's the relationship. There's no other relationship.
It's transactional.
I happen it's to. Possible. I confide in him a lot. You
no,
guys don't
not
know.
Once. Not once. Well, give me an example without giving details.
It's confiding. I'm not going to
tell
you.
No, you don't. You never did. Ever.
Have you ever been to his home? Have you ever walked into the man's home?
He's invited me.
Wow.
No, that's not the question. I would think a dear friend, you would have broken bread with him in his home and sat on his couch and watched a game with him.
Listen, I have young children. He has young children. We can't break away.
And the only invite between the two of them that has ever been thrown out there is an invite to a party in which everybody at the station gets invited to. Do you ever invite him over for dinner?
That's
he and his
business.
Family over?
Maybe
no,
they've
you haven't.
Been over. Maybe but they've been over. You
just,
don't know.
Just them.
This
yeah.
is sad.
Why would you lie right to my face?
I'm not lying. I said maybe they've been over and you
no,
don't know.
No,
you don't know
I
a
know.
Lot about me.
And
isn't
I know.
That the perfect entree? Isn't that the perfect entree? Hey, I have young kids. You have young kids. What could
all
be
right.
better? We let the kids play. We have some food. Boom.
That's a
it's
great
the perfect
point.
Night.
Right.
Well,
wow.
Dave, I mean, you're losing sight of the fact we're in the middle of a global pandemic that's only now being lifted. I have two jobs. I'm selling a beautiful book. What time do I have to go, like, cavorting around Long Island?
You
well,
only
he's,
met him
He's been
last
at
year?
The station for how long? He's been at the station for 7 years, 6 years. Yeah. the pandemic's been going on for a year and a half. What happened to the prior 4.5 to 5 years?
You have no idea what we've done together.
I know everything, and it's nothing.
How's the 5 to 8 show doing, Dave? That's what we
got to hear
about.
It this morning.
Yeah, awesome. How was it?
I gotta be honest. We're taking it to new heights. I mean, I think I've been sensational. I don't want to brag overly, but I think I've been really taking my game to another level, and I think we're all benefiting from that. And the show is we're cruising right along. We're doing great. Yeah,
good for
and,
you.
And how's your it's who's doing your podcast? Who's editing the video? I mean,
I'm the talent.
Who
it's
does this
the same
stuff?
Company that it's Media Squared. It's the same company. You know my friend Joe that runs it. He used to be director of the communications with the Yankees, and he does Yankees Magazine and Nets Magazine.
Joe Bialone.
Actually, it's the great Joe Bialone.
Great man
runs points on this, and now things are going smoothly. We have sponsors that are involving themselves in the show, and the goal is to become financially wealthy just off that, and to have ESPN as like a backup plan.
Wow,
I love what you're doing.
He's got the hockey show on Saturday mornings at 7.
That's right.
You're really doing well, aren't you?
How much hockey are you watching for that, Dave?
A lot, actually. I mean, if you don't watch playoff hockey, I think you probably should be committed. It's as good as anything. And the Islanders,
I agree.
Rick brought up a great point the other day because everything he says is great. You grew up in Long Island. Why wouldn't you be an Islander fan and not a Ranger fan?
I just don't like them. I don't know.
Why?
I never took to them. I watched the Rangers a few times when I was little, and I fell in love with the Rangers, and the Islanders were great, and I hated them. You can't say that I'm fraudulent. My team's won one cup in 80 years. The Islanders won 4 in a row when I was growing up. I just never took to the Islanders, and I can't stand them. And by the way, can I just bring this up quickly? And I know you guys sure have to run. This whole thing where if you're a Rangers fan, it's perfectly acceptable to now root for the Islanders is the stupidest tact I've ever heard in my life. You cannot be a Rangers fan and root for the Islanders. You cannot be a Yankees fan and root for the Mets. It is repulsive that people have this take that this is okay. It's not okay.
We have this argument all the time. It doesn't make sense. And of course, Peter supports rooting for both.
He also said that Phil Sims is Trent Dilfer-esque. So come on.
First of all, I've never spoken on Rangers fans and Islanders fans. I've only spoken on Yankees fans and Mets fans, in which I believe Michael refuses to accept that fans today are slightly different than fans of yesteryear and don't have the same hatred for the in-town rivals that they once did. That's all.
I think that's a major problem, though. I think people like Don and Michael and myself need to make sure to hand that down from generation to generation and not let younger fans have multiple teams that they root for. I used to tell my kids, my wife would shake her head. I would tell the kids when they were very little, the Cowboys push people down. Like, you could walk down the street, and if you see Emmitt Smith, he will just push little children down. So they had this irrational fear of the Dallas Cowboys, and I did that with all the teams so that there's no chance they could root for any team.
Wow.
You know, I like you even more than ever. I mean, you're not good at raising children, but I like the tact. I really do. Anyway, 5 to 8. DCR, we thank you for taking Peter to task. He's had a very bad day.
I actually really think I handle myself well in dealing with both of you.
Really? Did you handle yourself well snoring for a free private jet on Twitter?
Actually, yeah. Someone reached out and they put me in contact with someone.
Oh my goodness!
I could be well on my way. But the fact of the matter is, I overstated the negativity towards Sims. But no one's going to back me off my square that he's nothing more than a good quarterback, because that's what he was.
Dave, we had a great break.
He had a great game.
It's wrong. We don't need to go over and over. Peter's wrong.
You're right.
How'd Hostetler do with that team? I suppose he's an all-time great, too.
I mean, honestly, I mean, I swear to God, you should be hit. You should be at least in the stomach. Like,
listen,
your
it's okay.
You're so offended. I can't handle them.
It's okay. It's okay. I root for a team with bad quarterbacks, too.
It's embarrassing.
The Giants aren't a historically special offensive team. They're just not. They don't have great receivers. They don't have great quarterbacks. I mean, they barely have great running backs. They're a defensive team. That's what their legacy is.
That take was like Nick Foles led the Eagles to the championship, so Carson Wentz had no part of it. Phil Sims was the quarterback for the first 14 games of the season that year, and you have no recollection. You don't even know. You don't have any recollection. So you to be spouting off this kind of nonsense, it's embarrassing for you.
But he didn't. But didn't he play longer than Nick Foles did?
What do you mean? Didn't he play longer than Nick
when?
Foles?
When was Hostetler's first game that season?
Well, he played one game against the Cardinals early on.
Got hurt against Buffalo. He got hurt when the Giants were like 12-2 or something.
It was Week 14.
Okay. Week 14.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Giants have better people as owners than the Washington team does.
Now, currently, that's the case. Although, let's get off our high horse on the Giants' ownership, by the way.
Well,
let's
all take them. Better than, oh, stop.
Are they?
Wait a minute.
I got a break.
Daniel Snyder, Jack Kent Cook, your witness, counselor.
All right. Goodbye, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm going to go.
Jack Kent Cook was a good owner.
Have a great day, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.